Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Thursday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ and Life message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, I pray with you. Having a question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus answer for you. Having any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, I want you to join in with me in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious God, once again, we humble ourselves on this day and we come before you in Jesus' name. Thanking you, Lord, for the opportunity to go into the word of God again today in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. Father, we pray that your spirit will be with us to release revelation unto us as we take this journey into the word of God. Father, we dare not take this journey without you. So, Lord, we petition you this day for you to be with us this hour. So, Lord God, we thank you for blessing us on this broadcast to hear the voice of the Spirit by the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Before I go any further, I want to once again reiterate to those who are listening, who are first-time listeners, and perhaps those of you who are not first-time listeners, as I have failed in the past yet to mention this, but the page you listen to me on, you should see a follow button there. Click it, and it will ask for your email information. And the purpose of that is that whenever we create a broadcast, that you will be automatically alerted. It is a good thing because even though our primary time is 7 p.m. nightly, there's times that that comes up where we may have to do an earlier broadcast. So if you haven't done it already, hit that follow button, put that email information in so you can be alerted when we have a broadcast. Also, for those of you who listens to us on the broadcast, you know we go into the three books of the Lord. And for those of you who are first-time listeners, that's what we do. And those of you who are not first-time listeners, I want you to hear this information again as well. If you want a copy of the other two books, one is the book called The Record of Nephites. It is a record of the people that live on this continent during prehistoric times who the Lord dealt with, who took an account of God's dealings with them. It is called The Record of Nephite. The book is cost $8. And then the other book, which is The Word of the Lord, is a book of messages that the Lord Jesus has been sending through his angel messenger, the Elijah, from 1927 to 1994 thus far. They are 75 cents per dozen. It is thus far 120 messages. If you want these books, and I would encourage you to get them so you can read it for yourself and take what you read to the Lord to ask the Lord, is this from you? You can write the Church of Christ Eliza message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. That is the Church of Christ with the Eliza message, Independence, Missouri, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. Or you can call 1-800-752-1507. That's 1-800-752-1507. If you don't get no one at that number, you can dial area code 816-252-2343. That's area code 816-252-2343. Now, if you have your Bibles, I will ask if you would turn to the second book of Timothy, chapter 1. The second book of Timothy, chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 8 through 9. The second book of Timothy, chapter 1, looking at verses 8 and 9. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Second book of Timothy, chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Verse 9 being our key verse. We are today looking at the message to believers that are listening to this broadcast. And the title of this message is Every Believer Has a Work to Do. Every believer has a work to do. Now, this is a message that the Lord has blessed me to deliver to his people, because there are some that actually think that all they have to do is go to church service on Sunday, sometimes Bible study, Sunday school, and then go home. They think that that's what their whole Christian life consists of. Now, however, we do need to go to service. That is not what your whole Christian life consists of. You have a work to do for Jesus. No matter whether you are male or female, even God is even using the children, okay? But you have a work to do. Now, some of you may have been told that all you have to do is go to church on Sunday, be a, quote, good Christian, go to church on Sunday, and that's it. That's not true. That's not true. Some of you have been probably led to believe that the only ones that have a work to do is in the ministry. Those in the ministry, your pastor, evangelist, prophet, apostle. Some of you have may have some of you have been misled into thinking that. And some of you through that starting to feel that you are no worth to the body of Christ. Okay. Well, the Lord has blessed me to deliver this message. Every believer has a work to do. Now, this is part two. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, it said, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath what? Saved us and did what? Call us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, we are told that not only did the Lord save us, I want you to hear this clearly. Verse 9 said, who have saved us and call us with a holy calling. See, he didn't just stop at who saved us. See, some of you in the body of Christ, you have stopped at who saved us. And you think that being saved, that's enough. It's nothing else you have to do, okay? But the word of God here through the Apostle Paul is telling us that not only did he save us, but he called us with what kind of calling? A holy calling. Some of the stuff that some of God's people are doing today is not holy. But they call themselves doing it in the name of the Lord, thinking that God supports it. Well, I got big news for you. The answer is no. Listen, the work that God has you to do is going to be what? Holy, not unholy. The work that he has you to do is not going to have you doing some conniving, deceiving, low-down, dirty stuff and talking about, well, that's the Lord gave me. Ain't no Lord, not the true living Lord, gave you nothing like that. Some of these so-called gospel singers who's supposed to be making, quote, gospel videos are putting some unholy stuff on these videos. They're twerking, they're shaking, they're showing their breasts and all this and talking about, we're doing this for the Lord. I have seen some supposed to be prophets or prophetess coming on even social media talking about, I got a word from the Lord showing you part of their breasts. Remember, you're called with a what kind of calling? A holy calling, okay? And see, now we have so much unholiness going on that you have people talking about, the Lord had me to do this. Well, guess what? Jesus does not have you being a liar. Jesus does not have you being an adulterer. Jesus does not have you being a drunkard. Jesus doesn't have you showing part of your breasts or having a focus on your behind. That's not the holy work of the Lord. You're called with a holy calling. And in order to walk in that holy calling, you have to stay connected to Jesus. It's a must, people. Because when you get disconnected, you are more subject to go into an arena of unholiness. And even though you may call yourself taking the name of the Lord Jesus and putting it with it and talking about, hey, the Lord had me to doing this, you are a liar. Because the Lord is not having you do something that is unholy. As the young folks say, do you feel? Huh? See, once again, verse 9 says, who have saved us and called us. See, you don't stop. See, too many of you have stopped at the, I'm saved. I'm saved, and that's it. That's all I need. I'm saved. Go to church, say some couple hallelujahs, do some clap, let a little tear run down my cheek. Perhaps jump in the spin in the air, fall on the floor, get up. And by the time I do all that, the service is over. It's time to go home. See, some of you are stuck in a I'm saved mode. And you don't think that you got to do anything else. And this is why many of you are on your job, and on all that time on your job, not one time have you testified to anybody about Jesus Christ. In fact, you have shown more of the works of the world than you have the works of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And my brother used to say, don't shout me down when I'm preaching with. Okay? Don't. Hey, hallelujah. Amen. I have seen, you know, and you have people who also so caught up about them going to church. I go to church. Okay, you go to church. Okay, they're good. You go to church. Many of them that go to church ain't saved. And some of them who are saved, once again, they're testifying about nothing about Jesus on their job. In fact, some of them have become ashamed that they don't want people to know that they are Christian. That's why in verse 8, Paul said, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Because you cannot walk in that holy calling if you are ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're too ashamed to stand on the things of the Lord, if you're too ashamed to confess that, yes, I'm a born-again believer, if you're too ashamed to bring up even Jesus Christ in any of your conversation, then you cannot walk in this holy calling of the Lord. You can't do it. Hallelujah. You can't do it, people. Now, some of you say, oh, Brother Nate, you're just going overboard. Okay, well, you can say what you want to, but truth is true. And truth will always outlive a lie. And it will always rise up to be seen that it's better than a lie. You understand what I'm saying? So you can say what you want to, but truth is true. Amen? Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 11 to verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to verse 15. Now, before I go into that, you know, yesterday in part one, and for those of you the first-time listeners, Blog Talk Radio does record our past broadcast. So I want to encourage you to go back and listen to part one. See, when you come into a middle or toward the end of a series, it's hard to grasp the overall meaning of what's being taught or preached to you, okay? Now, some of you think it's okay to do that. It is not, because you treat it like you would treat, you know, your Sunday school. Some of you, the pastor say Sunday school started 9:30 to 10:30. You'll come in at 10:15. That means you'll come in at 10:15. When you sit down, you're looking around like you lost, which you are, because you don't know what they're going over. Because you have come 45 minutes late, okay? Now you got to whisper to somebody, what y'all on, what you looking at? And then you need to hope that they don't say something that you don't know where the book that where it is in the Bible. Oh, we in the book of Isaiah. Where that at? New or Old Testament? I'm being for real. So by the time you get all that conversation stuff going on, you may have a good, 10 minutes left? Amen. And some of you don't go to Sunday school at all. And some of the same complainers that come up, I just ain't getting fed at the church and, you know, I don't know some stuff and I need to know stuff. Okay, why don't you go to Sunday school? Now, see, I know some of you saying, Brother Nate, I just hear you over time for time, even lately, keep talking about the Sunday school business. Why? Because it's important. Because too many of you think that the preacher service is the only part of the service that's important, and you purposely overlook what? The teaching part, which is your Sunday school. Because some of you in the preacher service, when the pastor preaches certain things, y'all looking at one another saying, what he mean by that? I don't know what that means. And that. And then that's as far as y'all go. You don't care about knowing what he mean. You just, what did he mean? And you asking one another, but you know you ain't going to ask it out because it's preacher service. And if you did, you're going to have every head in the congregation swing and look at you like, what is wrong with you? See, you can tell the people who really wants to learn the word, they're going to make an effort, okay? Sunday school at 9:30, I'm going to be there at 9:25 or 9:20, waiting on y'all to open the door. Sunday school gets started, I'm going to have my pencil and paper ready and my Bible. Now, people that lay claim to want to know the word of God, always being late, coming every now and then, coming off and on, come there, don't have nothing, don't feel like you need to have anything, no paper, no pencil, you know, hey, none of that. You already know. Amen. Well, I'm just being real about it. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, the word says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, before we go any further, there is no greater foundation than the foundation that Jesus Christ has laid. You will not find none. I advise you not to try to search it because you're going to look foolish trying to do it. Any other foundation that you call yourself finding, that you call yourself saying, that is better than Jesus Christ is going to make you look like a fool in the end, period. Okay? You're going to look ridiculous. And guess who's going to be in the corner laughing at you? Just falling out laughing. Yes, you guess it, the devil. Because when he start calling you so many names, he going to fall out laughing at you so bad because he's going to see your falling. Just like what? He is falling. So there's no other foundation that can be laid than that which is laid, which is Christ. Now, he said, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, okay, hallelujah, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, notice it says every man's work. What every man? Every saved man. We all, as believers, have a work to do. Now, he mentions, if any man build upon this foundation, silver, gold, with what? With things that cannot be destroyed by fire. Here's the first three things. Precious stones, gold, silver, precious stones. They cannot be consumed by fire, but notice he said wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble can be consumed by fire, okay? You understand that? Are you building upon a foundation? The fire representing the trials, that the trials cannot destroy. Or they cannot be destroyed through the trials. Hallelujah. Are you building with something that is inflammable, that cannot be consumed by the fire of the trials, like faith? Are you building with faith on the foundation of Christ? Or are you building on the foundation of Christ with your works? Because remember, this holy calling has to be founded on the foundation of Christ. And if you're building on it with God kind of faith in this calling, then it could be of the gold, silver, and precious stones that the fire or the fire of the trials cannot destroy. But however, if you call yourself building with your emotions and what you think and men's precepts and concepts that can be destroyed, you're using your works to build on that. If you're doing a work that is founded on a foundation that will represent the wood, hay, or stubble that can be destroyed by fire, or your works, if your works is involving something that's not God kind of faith, but your emotions and all that you call yourself building on the foundation with in dealing with your work, then these trials is going to destroy your work. It's going to show what kind of work you're doing. Remember, you're called with what kind of calling? A holy calling. That holy calling must be built with faith, and it must be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And you got people today doing some works, like I said, that's unholy. It is not founded on the foundation of Christ. Amen. It's not built with the God kind of faith. Hallelujah. And see, once again, some of you out there thinking that you ain't got to do a thing. You think only one should be doing something is people in the ministry. Well, guess what? Here's the word I want to tell you today. It's called wake-up call, and it's coming to you. It's coming to you. See, the Lord does not raise lazy children. I'm going to say it again. The Lord does not raise lazy children. And the spirit of slothfulness has gone on among the Christian community, where some of God's people has a slothful, lazy spirit when it comes to the work of God. Amen. Don't want to do nothing. Listen. You got some of them don't even want to grow in Christ. I come in through the front door and I'm saved and that's good enough. So you say, and so you wrong, okay? So you say, and so you wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost. Some of you don't want to learn no more. Some of you don't have a desire to learn no more, and based upon that, you don't want to do anymore. You just want to, you got pew sitters. Pew sitters is people that just want to come in the pews and sit. They don't want to do nothing else. Nothing else. They don't want to do nothing else. Just come in and sit. Sit down. Don't tell me. Don't even tell me lead in prayer. Okay. None of that. Just sit down. That's what pew sitters. Okay. Amen. You got some people who's supposed to be in the ministry. It's the behind the pulpit sitters. You got some of them. Just want to sit there. Just want to be behind the pulpit and be seen by people. I'm behind the pulpit. And think that just because you're seen by people that makes you something be. Don't want to do anything. Want to make excuses on why they're not doing something. I want to be the behind the scenes guy. And see, some of you, quote, have allowed the spirit of fear to contain you. To contain you. You heard some testimony about brothers and some of the hardships they went through, and all of a sudden you go, I don't want to go through that. So you think not doing nothing will protect you. Don't you know that you have to answer to Almighty? You think God's going to just turn around, just blink and close his eyes to you, but look at someone else and jump down on them and get on them while you just sit there because I don't want to go out. I don't want no doors slamming in my face. I don't want none of that. I don't, you know. Amen. Now think about it. When you was in the world, you was brave at certain things. Some of you in the world was big, probably big fighters. Somebody said something, you better pow, hit them in the mouth in a minute. Turn around and fought three or four people at one time. But now you come to Christ, when it comes to doing the missionary work, you, I don't know, I don't think I want to go. I don't think I want the daughter slapping my face. I can't take it. Amen. And you think because of being confined by fear that that protects you. Oh, my God, you in for a rude awakening. You in for a rude awakening. Hallelujah. Remember, we looked at Ezekiel yesterday. And remember what the Lord said about the righteous. He said, if that righteous man turn from righteousness and go into iniquity and you don't want him, he said, the blood is going to be required at your hand. He said, if that wicked man, it is wickedness, continue to walk in this wickedness and you don't warn him, he said, I'm going to require his blood at your hand. Amen. Because the Lord is not raising lazy children. He's not raising lazy children. Some of you wants to join churches so it can be good looking on your resume. You're running for a position in your town, in your city, alderman or something like that. So you put out resume. You say, I'm a member of Phi Beta 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 Chi Phi Phi, and also I go to certain church. You want that? See, see, many people use that connection to these other organizations. I'm a Mason. And, I'm a this and I'm a that. And they put it on the resume when they're going out for a city official job, and that, quote, makes the resume looks good, you know? Yeah. When you can put, I'm a member of such and such a church, and I'm a member of this sorority or fraternity, and I'm a member of this organization. See, that right there. See, that's what some look at as a good resume. Wow. Hallelujah. I know that the work that the Lord has for me, I know that there are going to be challenges. It have, and I know there will be. And am I still walking under the preparation of the Lord? I sure am. I'm not here to tell you guys that I'm 100 or 110 proof that I'm there. I'm not here to tell you that. But I know that it's going to face some challenges. And I'm not here to back down. Amen. You know, I feel like, hey, listen, before I got saved, I done things in the world. Listen, before I got saved, as some of you know, I was into music. I was in a rap group and a slow song group. Now, just imagine you going up on that stage. Man, you got to face people booing you, and they don't like you, booing you, stuff like that. That's big with many people, and especially if it's something you ain't did before. Having to perform out in front of people, you know, risking being booed, being shamed, okay? And I'm like, man, if I can do that, okay? Because when I did music, everybody didn't think that the group we was in was better than certain other groups. Everybody didn't think that, so I had to face that. I mean, to be honest with you, when we was in a certain group, that was a certain group we could never beat when I was in school. We could never beat them. We got good. We was good. But they was good as well. But they was better. We couldn't beat. I'm just going to be honest with you. We couldn't beat. But I had to go through that. Amen? I had to go through talent shows we did, not coming in first place. I had to go through that. Amen? So I'm looking like, hey, if I had to go through that, you know, and did with no problem, okay. Some I really enjoyed at that time that I wasn't saved. Well, guess what? I enjoyed the word of God, so why not this? And the challenges I will face is that not everyone's going to accept this message I bring to them. Amen. I testified to you guys once before. I know that all you hadn't heard it. I want to testify about it again, about the challenges and doing the work of the Lord. Back here, oh, I say, man, it might have been over 17, maybe 20 years ago, 17 or 20 years ago. Me and one of the brothers in the church went and did missionary work in Canton, Mississippi, which is about 45 minutes from here, from Durant. And we was doing the house-to-house missionary work. I know some of you said, well, like what, like the Jehovah Witness? Yeah. I give Jehovah Witness credit on one thing on that. They go house-to-house. But anyhow, we had went to this particular house, and I think it wasn't a car in the driveway, but we went up and knocked on the door. I think the car was in the driveway or not. I don't think it was. But we went and knocked on the door. No one answered. And so this black guy pulled up in the truck, and it looked like to me like a plumber's truck or something like that. And so as he was walking toward us, we stand in the driveway. He's coming from off the street to the driveway, walking towards us. And this is where, even though the missionary work, you got to hear the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will let me know something. And to be honest with you, I ignored it. As the man walked towards us, he spoke to us, said, how you doing? I said, all right. And it came to me. I started thinking about it. I said, okay, I'm going to give him a message. And I got this signal from the Spirit of God. Don't do it. The Lord was talking to me, don't do it. I began to get this unpeaceful feeling. Well, the man walked past us. He said, was anybody here? As he walked past us, I said, no. I said, well, me, we just walked up to the door and knocked, and didn't nobody come out. And so as he went on past us, he went to the door and knocked. Like I said, I was telling you guys, it was on my mind to give him this message. And I didn't heed. And so when the man turned around and walked back toward us, I said, listen, I want to give you this message that the Lord wants us to give to you. And people, let me tell you something. I gave it to him. As soon as he looked down, man, I can't even tell you, he read even 30 seconds up. As soon as he looked down, looked at it, he looks up at us and he says, this is the stuff that made my mama sick. And this man was so mad. This man was about, I don't know, maybe a couple feet in front of us. He wasn't far from us. And he was so mad to me. He was like, man, something mad enough to do something. And he's like shaking. This stuff has caused my mama to be sick and this and that and this and that. And as he's talking, I'm thinking to myself, who is this guy? You know? And he kept talking. And somehow as he's talking, I'm standing there listening to him. And at the same time, people, I'm wondering, Lord, do I need to brace myself? Because this man is about like 2 feet or so in front of us, and this man mad enough like he could do something. And so as he's talking, he gets to the point where he starts saying, look at you. Look at what y'all wear. We can use people like you. Now, when he said we can use people like you, I'm saying, well, who is this? And so I asked him, I said, oh, wait a minute. I said, who are you? And he said, the black Hebrews. I said, oh, my goodness. That's a whole different story, people, but oh, my goodness. I gave you that testimony to let you know that doing the work of the Lord has challenges. Now, some people, if they would have been involved in that, what we was involved in, would have said, man, I ain't going back on a missionary work. I don't know about going back out. Man, we just saw them next Saturday and say, hey, we're going out. Oh, I got something to do. I'll catch y'all next time. But to them next time wouldn't come. It just wouldn't come, people. Hallelujah. See, some of you say, well, Brother Nate, would I get doors slammed in my face? Yep. Brother Nate, would I get people to try to want to run me out their yard? Yep. Brother Nate, would I get people speaking all kinds of profanity and stuff at me? Yep. You say, well, wait a minute. You ain't making me feel no better. I said, let me tell you something. Do you think, read your Bible now, do you think that everywhere Jesus went, he was received? Huh? We're talking about Jesus. We ain't talking about disciples now. We're talking about, let's go to the head top one. Do you think that Jesus was received everywhere he went? No. Some of the people wanted to throw him head first. They just wanted to kill him. You get what I'm saying? But Jesus didn't let that stop his mission. And some of you have let that type of fear stop your mission, stop you from walking in the calling that God has called you in. In fact, you have let it stop you from even pursuing God to find out what purpose, Lord, am I here on this earth for? What purpose do you have for me here to do? You know, you in so much fear. I'm not going to ask them about it. I'm not going to see God about it. You know, hey, you know, he loves me, you know, but I'm not going to do it. See, some of you have turned to that kind of thing. And you think that's going to protect you. And because you call God a loving God, which he is, you think, God, oh, God is merciful. He understands my heart. Man, let me tell you something. If there are two phrases, let me be honest with you, that I am so tired of hearing people say to use an excuse is, God knows my heart, and you can't judge me. That's the two things right there. I look at people, I say, that's pitiful. That's just purity, as the old folks say, purity pitiful. Okay, you sit up there, but God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows that you don't want to do it. Amen. Well, you can say amen on me or whatever. Truth is truth, people. Truth is truth. Hallelujah. Truth is truth. Amen. Glory to God. Truth is truth. You have a work to do. You have a work to do. Hallelujah. Now, to this message, from what I think it's going to be, I'm going to have one more part, which will be part three. Now, this is the reason why I'm saying this. Because part three of this message especially is going to be to my sisters in the Lord, okay? To my sisters in the Lord. Because in the dream, if I'm not mistaken, I shared this with you guys yesterday that I had. I was talking to a woman. I told her, I said, you know what? You got to work to do. You're not just that flip or cook chicken and have babies. And I told a woman in the dream that she paid attention. Okay. Hallelujah. Glory. So my third and final part, Lord say the same, that is what I want to go into and talking to you sisters. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Now, some of you sisters know this. And some of you sisters know this, and you have went overboard in some areas on this too now. Let's get real. But then there are some of you sisters that don't know this, or you've been oppressed down to not rise up. And I got to give it, to be honest, by some of the men of God. Okay? Some of the men of God have to make you feel like, hey, all you hear is for to cook pancakes and have children. Be a good little pastor wifey, and that's all you do. Pastor wifey, are you a believer? Well, sure I am, Brother Nate. Well, guess what? You have a work to do. Now, your work is to be involved in the ministry with your husband. See, that's another thing that some Christians, I'm not talking about sinners, because sinners, they don't go by the word of God. But here's the problem with some Christians don't understand about marriage. When you get married, it is not just the husband go to work, make the money, wife go to work, make the money, y'all come back together, that's it, sit at the table and talk some, eat food, have children, go to sleep, get up, same thing. It's more than that. See, one of the things that I noticed through the years, and I noticed this even before I got married, and even when I got married, is that one of the things that I believe that's missing even in some marriage counsels or counseling before marriage to dealing with Christians. Once again, I ain't talking about sinners, because sinners don't walk by the word of God. But to the Christians, is to talk about how that The husband and wife have a ministry together. That to me, that's not talked about too much. And so the message sometimes is left to say, okay, husband, you got your role to do. Wife, you got your role to do. Husband, you got to work, bring home the bread. Wife, you can work, bring home the bread, or you could be a stay-at-home wife and you do your part at home, all of that, okay? But it's left out that we got to minister together. So this is why you got to be careful who you marry, okay? Because you can't, you know, if you marry some people that, well, I just don't want to do anything, then you're going to have trouble. Going to have trouble. Amen. You got a ministry together, people. Husband and wife. See, both of y'all, husband and wife, you got a calling. And also involving your calling is a ministry together. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. What, Brother Nate? We all have a work. Excuse me. We all have a work. I'm talking about believers. We all have a work to do in the Lord. I have, once again, the greatest, utmost respect to the Christian evangelist, not only that is going out here in these streets here, good old USA, but who are going into what I call the highest level, intense persecution field of the other countries. Listen, I don't care if you male or female. You doing it, I got great respect for you. I say great respect. Great respect. Because if you think there's some challenges here in the good USA, I ain't even been into other countries and have learned about it. Man, so far, the challenges we face here versus the challenges they face in other countries, we level one, they level three or four. Hallelujah. And these are Christians over there, you know, and let me be straight up with you. Who have been suffering for the gospel's sake. Not because of their color or their gender, but for the gospel's sake. They are facing not only evil men, but even demons operating through men over in those other countries. They're in countries where that even their governments in that country can't stand Christianity. If a Christian be done wrong against over there, he just over there. Some of them are evangelizing countries where that if they catch you evangelizing for Christ, will throw you straight in prison. Amen. Now, some of you said, well, Brother Nate, my goodness, man, you ain't making it sound no better. Listen, what do you think? Is it better to suffer for Christ's sake or for someone or something else? You tell me. Now, I'm going to answer to you from where I stand. It's better to suffer for Christ's sake because the reward I would get from Christ will, not maybe, will outshine the trouble I went through for Christ's sake. You get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Now, if you don't see that, then you won't accept what I just said. If you don't see it. If you don't see it, I just don't see it, Brother Nate. I just can't, you know, people want to hurt me because I'm preaching Christ. I don't see how I can get something better out of that. Well, if you don't see it, you won't accept it. And my prayer for you is that your eyes will be open, that you see. See, sometimes we don't see everything. Sometimes we can miss it, okay? We don't see everything. Something we need to see, we miss it. We don't see everything, okay? Hallelujah. Doesn't mean that it's not there, because it is. Hallelujah. You have a work to do, believer. To you that's listening right now, who've been feeling like, you know, you're just there. Among the people, among the church, you're just there. Maybe you've been made to feel like that there's no use for you, and God has a work for you to do. Well, Brother Nate, how do I find out? Well, won't you try on the weekend going on a consecration? Saturday, Sunday kind of consecration. Eat your meal, eat your little meal before 6 o'clock, and by 6 o'clock, go on the consecration. Anoint your head and wash your face and go on the consecration, you know, according to, I think that's Isaiah 59, go on the consecration and say, Lord, I want to break down my flesh in this consecration that my spirit may be open to hear from you concerning the purpose you have for me. And I'm here to tell you people, Brother Nate can testify to this. When you do that in honesty, I'm telling you, God will answer you. That's how this job that I'm on now, which Lord say the same, this April the 25th, I think, 25th, 24th, well, either way it go, it's going to be 24 years. When I was working, some of you heard this testimony, but I'm testifying concerning how God will hear you in your consecration. When I was working at a place called Fleetwood Homes in the year 2000, I knew in my spirit that I had come to an end of a journey on that job. I knew that it was time for me to move on. To move on to where? I didn't know. So I went on a consecration for 2 days. That first day, Saturday, I went 9 hours just drinking water. And on that consecration now, here it is. I didn't just drink water, run around and watch cartoons and run outside and do a little work. No, I stayed in a communion with God. I stayed in the Word of God. I stayed in prayer. Stayed praying 9 hours. Now, is that a challenge? Yeah, because if your flesh ain't used to that, your flesh going to be like, hey, let's get up out of this. Let's go do something. So it'd be a challenge. But if you start bit by bit, hey, you may not be able to go 9 hours like I do. You may be able to go 1 hour. Well, if you go 1 hour today, the next day go 2 hours. Well, that Saturday, I went 9 hours. That Sunday, I went 8 hours. That Sunday night, because I would consecrate myself to hear from the Lord where to go to next. That Sunday night, this was the first time, that time I had been saved 10 years. This was, that I can remember, the first time that the Lord ever told me straight out in the dream the next place to go to, and then gave me a bit of information about it before I went to it. All this in the same dream. And he told me in the dream, Hunter Engineer. So I say that to say this. I know that if you go on a serious consecration before the Lord, you're answered. You say, well, Brother Nate, what if I go an hour Saturday and 2 hours Sunday and I don't see nothing happen? Then do it again next weekend. Be persistent. You understand what I'm saying? Remember, the Bible said we walk by faith and not by sight. Okay? Amen. Do it again until you get an answer. You're going to get an answer. Amen. Thank God for the word of God today. Thank the Lord for this opportunity that he has given for for me to go into the Word of God with you all. Once again, like I said, I will come back with part three. Now, tomorrow we have Love Thy Neighbor, which is the prayer on Friday. So my part three may be Saturday or Sunday, okay, that I will come back with it. Amen. Glory be to God. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day you've made and created. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given to us to go into the Word. Thank you for the presence of your Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost. And we just give you all the glory and honor and praise, and we magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Once again, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.